Blog Talk Radio.
I decided to take a stand, not knowing when I'd lose my best friend. All God's children to stand, yeah. Tell somebody, say, you stand, yeah, Lord, yeah. Stand for holiness,
for holiness, oh. And for righteousness,
and be counted, not believing, at least some of my friends. And I would rather, live right, burn in hell, lift up my eyes. All of our children to stand, stand, everybody say it, you stand. Oh, stand for holiness.
Stand for holiness.
Darkness. So I know this is a message called by God
for us as we are in preparation for the coming of the Lord. Amen. So I have an awesome message for you on today. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to give you praise, glory, and honor. We want to take this time, oh God, just to acknowledge you for being the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the Everlasting Father. Lord, we thank you for being in our midst. Lord, we asking that you continue to open our eyes that we may see. Give us a heart to receive, oh God. Open the ears that may be deaf, oh God. Bless those that are listening live and even those that may listen in the archive, the recorded message, Lord. Father God, we ask right now that you anoint this message through your vessel as I decrease and you increase, Lord God. Have your way, Father, in the name of Jesus. Give revelation, knowledge. Give illumination through your word. Father, unveil things that may be hidden that we may see. Lord, we give you all praise and glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen. Well, first, again, I'm Lady D, Lady Diane Shaw out here in Springfield, Illinois, hollering at you on this evening. I apologize for those that was waiting. Amen. I got a pretty heavy load that I be carrying, but I'm not complaining. I give God the glory. I'd rather be late. How do you say be delayed, but not denied. I was determined to press my way. Amen. You know, we're in warfare, so a lot of times we got to understand that sometimes when we're not able to get to things, why? It's because a lot of times there's a lot of roadblocks that the enemy put in our way to try to hinder us from pressing forward. So praise God, and I thank God for allowing me to be here with you. Amen. Again, I'm Lady D, and I give honor to God, who's ahead of my life, and my husband, my loving husband, who I love so much, Elder Ambrose Shaw, amen, who I know who's listening. He's very, very supportive. Amen, and what we're doing out here, and give him a shout-out also to Minister, amen, Andrew out there in L.A., Los Angeles, holding it up out there, amen. So let's get to it. You know, if you didn't follow me on the last message, you can definitely go in the archive, because I was talking about shining the light in the dark, and I really brought it. I believe the Lord allowed me to bring an understanding about the light, and the fact that God is all light, totally light, and there is no darkness in him. Amen. And I also talked about how God called light good. And all the things he created, he made, he called it good. But he never called the dark good. And also how the Lord separated the light and the darkness. He made a distinction between light and darkness. And there was a reason why God did that. So today, what I'm going to be pretty much really talking about. Now we're understanding the importance of knowing the difference between light and darkness. I'm going to be talking to pretty much the believers, amen. Or if you're not a believer, how you can get out of darkness and into that light. But this is during the time right now that the believers who have their lantern, who have their light lit, how so important it is to keep that light flickering. You know, keep that light on. Amen. That is the light. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the fire that's inside of you. Amen. So I want to talk to you. I want to start out with a scripture. It starts with Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. And it simply pretty much talks about, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists of all of the goodness, the righteousness, and truth, and find out what pleases the Lord. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing. Woo! I want you to hear that. Have nothing, absolutely nothing, to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness. Nothing. Can't associate with you. I have to abandon this thing. You know what I'm saying? This is what, and I'm kind of elaborating, but it only makes sense why God, in the beginning, put a distinction, because he knew that as time go through the ages of time, that there had to be an understanding of what was light and what was dark. So here in Ephesians, it's talking about in chapter 5, verse 8 through 14, have nothing to do with the fruit. In other words, I can't play with you. I can't text with you. I can't email with you. I can't even eat with you. We can't have that kind of relationship. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I can't do it. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds, these actions of darkness, but rather, come on, let's look at this. This is the word, y'all. Rather expose them. What's your Bible say? It says expose them. Since we are the light, our light exposes the darkness. Now, what has happened is in Christianity, the voice of the people of God has been dumbed down. Our voices, there's been a muzzle on our mouth for keeping us from really exposing darkness. And truth be told, we don't have to expose it. All we got to do, y'all, is live it. Don't you know when your light is shining and someone else is in darkness, they are convicted? That's why most people that ain't trying to live for God is going to try to find everything that's wrong with you. They're going to be keep pointing things wrong with you because they are convicted of your light. So if I can find everything that's wrong with you, that talking about how, you said you're a Christian, you said, you know, watching everything you do, trying to bring it out. But what it really is they are convicted of the light, the life that you are trying to live. So it says expose them, but we don't have to necessarily expose them by pointing to it. All we have to do is be the light in the darkness. Our light exposes darkness. But everything, and look at this. Expose them, for it is shameful. I'm still in the word. You can pull it up, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Oh, I'm telling you, the world of darkness, when the lights go out, you know they should have a song. The freaks come out at night. I'm just, you know, not trying to be carnal, but there's a lot of dark things going when the lights are out, in darkness, in secret. But everything, this is still a word, but everything disposed by the light becomes visible. For it is light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, wake up, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14. It says, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. When we rise up from the dead, when we come up from our sin, when we come in out of darkness, the Spirit of God shines upon us. That's why when you have that encounter and that illumination come, it's almost like you're the only one. You can be in a crowd of people, and when the Spirit of God shine up on you, it's just you and the Lord. But He's shining that light on you to bring you out of darkness. God does not shine the light on you and bring you into the light for you to go back into the dark. No. That's not how the Lord gets down. He bring you out of the darkness to bring you into the light, to bring you into a better way, a better understanding, a better revelation. How can we live in the light while we're living in this dark world, y'all? Okay? How can we do it? Now, let's keep it real. God had to know, because He already told you in the beginning that there's going to be a distinction. So He did not call dark good for a reason. He knew that us being down here in this world, sometimes we say, Lord, why can't it be so hard? Why is it so hard trying to live a saved life in this dark world? temptations, everything around you. You can't look around the corner. You can't look on the TV. You can't look on commercial. You definitely can't scroll through your phone. You know what I'm saying? Darkness is jumping out on you in the midst of while you in the light. You're in the light and darkness is jumping all on you. So Paul in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7, Paul is continuing his exhortation to imitate God that began in Ephesians. He called the believers to imitate God. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. Paul was calling the believers to imitate God. How? By living a life of love and by getting rid of sexual immorality of every sort, including activities, including your thoughts, and including your words. It is here that the believers are called to imitate God by walking as children of the light. You heard that song, Walk in the Light, Children. We are called, saints of God, to walk in the light. We are not to be walking in darkness, because inside of darkness is death. There's nothing good there. And what the enemy's determination is to, while you're in your sin or while you're in your darkness, for you to die in the midst of where you at. Because he knows that to die in your sin and die in darkness is forever separation from God. So we can't play with this dark world. We can't play with the devil. We can't play with the things of the world. We can't play with those sexual immoralities of any sort, any activity. You got to understand. You know, me and my husband is listening to this CD, and I'm telling you, I've got a really, really, really good understanding. And as God began to help us bring forth fruit consistently in our marriage, we are determined to, after we come out of our grave clothing of what we've been through, we're going to help some folks. Because God don't let you go through things without. He lets you go through it because somebody else needs it, okay? And so what I'm trying to say to you, we've been listening to something that talks about what men battle with, y'all, ladies. You better hear me. I need to talk to some sisters, some women out there, some girlfriends. Girls, those men, what they go through, the devil. Oh, we don't got that. But it's something that men have with this sexual immorality, and the devil knows this. The craving, now, don't get me wrong, it's a good thing that men have craving for sex, okay? But God ordained it, predestined, that the sex that goes on between a man and a woman is under the covenant of a marriage, okay? That's why the enemy fights so hard against marriages, okay? So this thing, what Paul is saying in Ephesians, he's saying that we are to be imitators of God. How? How can I imitate God? Living a life of love. Number one is love. We must love. Love your enemies. Love those that hate you. Love those who spitefully use you. Not just love people that love you. Not just love people that do things for you. Love everybody. And that's hard, y'all. But guess what? God says, imitate me. Why? Because God is a God of love. God didn't just love in the Christian. Truth be told, God loved the heathens, right? God loves all his creation. God just, he loves us, but he hates what we do. But so God's loving everybody. So if we're going to imitate God in the light, we got to live a life of love and get rid of, this is what Paul said, I'm not telling y'all this, I'm telling you, Paul is telling you, Paul telling them back then, y'all, way back then in his days, they were dealing with sexual immorality back then. Paul talking about get rid of the activities. get rid of the thought. Oh, wait a minute now. You don't even know the thoughts of a man or anybody. But God said, I know your thoughts. I know your mind. I know your heart. God said, nobody can see your thoughts. Now, you can get rid of your activities, but Paul said, get rid of your thoughts. Why do we got to get rid of the thoughts? Because we got to put on the mind of Christ. And we can't be thinking about God, but listen, but also our mind is corrupt. You know what I'm saying? So the activities, Paul said get rid of the activities. Paul said get rid of the thoughts. And he said get rid of the words. If you have a hard time getting rid of your word, keep your mouth shut. If you can't get your mouth, your words to say the right thing, you need to probably be muted. Yeah. You need to just start living a muted life for a little while, because your words, your tongue can send you to hell. Don't play with your words. Your words can give life or death. And if you know you have a problem with some of the words that come out of your mouth, you need to fast your words. You need to put your tongue on a fast, okay? You need to really, really give your tongue to God and ask in your prayer time, God, silence my tongue, silence the words that are not edifying. We, saints of God, we have got to imitate God, and we cannot continue to oops. No. Now, either God is who he is, which is all powerful. I believe God can give you the power and authority to tame that tongue. You know why I believe it? Because he already said that he can do it. Okay? What we have a problem doing is releasing it. Lord, I'm putting it to the cross. Lord, you know, I done buried a whole lot of things in my life. Now, last thing I got to do is bury my tongue, because your tongue can separate you from God. You understand that? The words, if you tearing down, if your words are not edifying, and I know this is hard for some people, because some people have been using their tongue and using words to forever and in a day, and it's just been a habit. Let's keep it real. It has been a habit, and habits are hard to break, but don't tell me God can't do it. He can do it, but you got to be willing. I'm just trying to help you get saved and stay saved, because Paul is telling them to imitate God. Imitate God. We're talking about how do we live in the light while residing in the dark world. Well, Paul said here's how you do it. The only way you're going to do that is you got to imitate God. And the only way I'm going to imitate God is through love and getting rid of sexual immorality of every sort. He didn't say you can leave something. He said every sort. Look it up. I'm talking about Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Look it up. Don't take my word, okay? And the activities. What kind of activity? Now, listen, let's think about this. We know what's going on right now in 2021. What was going on back there in the day when Paul, for him to write this letter to the Ephesians? What was going on? So that tells me, devil, this ain't new. Ain't nothing going on that's new. The devil been tricking folks for a long time. He been hoodwinking people for a very long time. Ain't nothing new. He sits up and study up. Oh, he just like the guy back there in the days of feet. Oh, there's another one. So you ain't doing nothing new. But don't allow yourself to be hoodwinked. We have to be imitators of God. And he said, here the believers are called to imitate God by walking as children of the light. Children of the light. That means when people see you, they see something. Now, remember, we're in a dark world. When they see you, they see a light. They see a glow. And the only way you're going to get that glow, the only way you're going to get that anointing, the only way you're going to get that light is begin to imitate God. And it's not you. You're not God. But you're imitating the light of God. You're imitating the light of God. We are becoming children of the light, of the light. Now, in Scripture, the figuratives used of a light has two aspects. the intellectual and the moral. Now, the intellectual represents truth, whereas morally it represents holiness. So to live in the light, therefore, means to live in truth. We got to live in truth, and we have to live in holiness, okay? Think about that. We have to live in truth, which means there is no lie in us. There's no deception in us. We're walking in truth. We know the devil has no truth. The devil is the father of lies. He is the father of lies. So there will be no truth. That's associated with what? Darkness. We have to walk in truth and holiness. What is holiness? Holiness is separation. There God is. He separated the light from the darkness. As we walk in holiness, we're not saying I'm holy now. No, no, no. I'm just separating myself from darkness. So if that makes me holier than thou, I guess I am. I want to be holier than the darkness. I don't want to have no resemblance of the darkness. I want a clear understanding. When God see me, he don't see darkness, but he see me on his side of the light. You feel what I'm saying? We're not trying to be better than nobody. The Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You understand? That tells me I got to take this thing serious. I cannot be worrying about what other people thinking about me you starting to pray too much, or you reading your Bible too much, or you trying to act like you all that. I hope I am, and I'm trying to get out of here. So, yes, I'm trying to be the light, and the only opinion that really matters is God's opinion, because if God be for you, who can be against you? You feel me? So we see this in Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. In reference to the light is referring to an intellectual truth as found in God's word. If we look in Romans chapter 13, verse 12 through 14, it says light. The light refers to moral deeds and darkness. So our deeds are either going to be of the light or of the darkness. Okay? And I'm going to say this to you. It really don't matter how much we read the Bible, how much we study, how much we do and what we say, y'all. It's in our life. It's in our deeds. What we say has to come about. And manifestation means I got to see it. We can see it, but our actions got to be seen. We are trying to be a light in the midst of the darkness. How do we do this? We do this by imitating God. So the night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness. This is Romans. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness. Let us put aside the deeds of darkness. See, the night is nearly over. It's just saying, hey, y'all, it's almost over. It's time to get out of here. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds, the actions of darkness, and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness and in sexual immoralities. Okay, in debauchery, not in distinction and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Because in that sinful nature is what's going to separate us from God. But we in sin, we are separated from God. God still loves us. He ain't left us. But we leave God when we go into darkness. We leave God when we operate in sin. Uh-huh. That's why he leaves it open for you. Quickly repent. Because if you don't repent, you're now under shadow of darkness. And the devil will bring condemnation. And he will hold you hostage. And the longer you stay in the darkness and the longer you stay in the sin, it's like he got a grip around your neck and he's trying to choke you and take the little breath out of you. That's why we can't play with darkness. That's why we can't play with sin. You know, it's like a Russian roulette. It's like, you ever seen those shows where somebody, they have a gun, and they'll roll the trigger around, and then they'll click it, click, click, and the bullet don't come out then? You sweating. Now, the bullet can come out at any time. That's what it's like with sin. That's what it's like when you're playing Russian roulette. You clicking that gun, pointing it to your head. Excuse me. All right, I rebuke you, devil. He's pointing to your head, and at any point in time, that gun can go out. So when we go out there, we sin. We don't know if that's gonna be the sin that's going to take us out. You understand? So when we play with sin, or when we step out there in the darkness just to play, just go around, just like, I'm just going to go out there, I'm going to make it back. You don't know if you're going to make it back. You don't know. You don't know if this is your last time. It's Russian roulette. Okay? We can't do that, saints of God. We got to imitate God. We have to stay in the light. We have to avoid any form of darkness. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. These words refer to both the intellectual and the moral. It says, woe. And I talked about this before. Woe, woe, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Believers are in a light because they have been changed intellectually and morally. That's what makes us a light. We didn't make our own light. We were a people of darkness. We only became a part of the light is when God changed us. Do you hear me? You cannot be in the light, walking in the light, and still be the same. In other words, you can't be the light, dark, I'm light, I'm dark, I'm light, I'm dark. You are either in the light or you are in the darkness. That's why God said he put a distinction between it. He divided it. And so if you are in the light and you haven't associated with darkness, you are in the dark. You're in the dark. You're doing the things in the light, but you also in the dark. You're quite frankly, you're in the dark. You hear what I'm saying? It's not like, well, I'm in the light, I only got partial darkness, so I'm still in the light. No. There's no darkness in God. Let's get that straight. So you have to get in the light and stay in the light and treat that darkness like a plague. So how can believers how do we continue to imitate God? By living in the light. Living. We have to walk this thing out, y'all, every day, one day at a time. We have to make a understanding, a moral decision. I'm waking up this morning. Lord, it's a great day to be alive. Today, I choose to walk in the light. Today, Lord, protect me from any form of darkness. Keep my mind pure. Keep my eyes. I make a covenant with my eyes, God. Don't allow anything foul to go before my eyes. And if it does, Lord, allow me, help me to move away from it, turn my head, whatever. Sanctify my eyes, Lord, so my eyes can be pure. Amen? So, and what we're talking about is the big question is, how can believers live in the light? How can we live in the light? Well, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8 through 14 tells us, we must remember that light, not darkness. We must remember to live in the light and not the darkness. Amen. For you were once darkness. You once was in the dark. You're no longer that. You got to remind yourself. You got to tell yourself, that's not me no more. What am I doing? What am I doing eating my vomit? I spew that stuff. I vomited it up. I spit it out. It was detestable. Ugh. What am I doing? That's what happens when we go back out there into our sin. We go back into the darkness. We're literally slurping up. Any of you eat oatmeal? I love oatmeal. So oatmeal is a good oatmeal. But I ain't trying to, you know, be gross, but vomit, okay? It's nasty. It's nasty. Who in the world eats they vomit? And you know you would not, on your right mind, you would not eat your vomit. But that's exactly what you're doing spiritually. When you eat the crap that God pulled out of you, that blackness, that tar, that gross stuff that been in you for years, God purged you and he pulled you out. So we cannot go back to our vomit. We cannot go back into the darkness. So we see here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, Paul reminds the believers that they were once in darkness. You were once there, but are now light of the Lord. You are the light. We are the light of this dark world. It is interesting to consider, though, that he does not say believers were in darkness, but he says they were. He said you were in darkness. That's like a past tense. Were is a past tense. I'm not in darkness. I was in darkness. You were in darkness. That is the character of every believer before coming to Christ. We all have a past. We all got a history. We all got things we've been through. And let me tell you, it's not easy. It's not easy. I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, why don't you just confess to Jesus, Lord, and just walk on out there. Ah, it's such a perfect world, and I have no problem. No! Oh, you got a hit. You got a target on your back, man. You feel me? You got a target. The devil had you, but then once you confessed that you was going to follow Christ, oh, he's not going to let go of you that easy. Oh, it's on. And you wonder why I keep struggling, why I keep battling. Well, why do you think you keep battling? Don't ask that question. Here it is. Because you made a commitment to God. You told the Lord in your prayer, Lord, I'm to live for you and to die for you. I'm sold out. And the enemy said, oh, we'll see about that. So he brings temptation. He brings darkness because he want to see if you meant what you said when you was in that prayer closet. He want to see if you meant what you said when you made that repentance, when you said, God, give me another chance. He want to see if you mean it. So you're going to be like Job. And he said, well, I bet if you remove that hedge, I bet he'll turn on you. So sometimes God will allow us to go through some things to see how we're going to respond. All right, hello somebody. Sometimes God said, no, it's easy to serve me when I got that hedge and I got the angelic forces. But what if I move back and I allow all the temptations and all the things that you struggle with? What if I move back? Then you and I have to have that determination, that made a mind. Like, no, 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 no. You know? Yeah, you know, you remember Peter when he said three times, Lord, I'll follow you, Lord. I'm going to be your best disciple. I'm disciple number one. And what happened? As soon as they took Jesus away, they ran, they flew. And then they found Peter. And they said, he looks like, and yes, you the one, you was with Jesus. No, 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 it wasn't me. It wasn't me. Three times. But Jesus had already told Peter that the cock would crow because you would not. And when Peter heard the cock crow, he knew. He cried because Jesus had already told him, you're going to deny me. See, so some of us, we'll say, oh, I'm in this all the way. And we'll say, I'm all the way in. But, oh, you better watch what you say. And ain't nothing wrong with saying it. But as you say it, it goes into the atmosphere. And you will be tempted. But he says, but I will make a way of escape. It's not saying temptation won't be there. But he said, I'm going to make a way. I'm going to make a door of escape. And you and I got to see the light. That door is the light. That's why God said, understand what's in this world. What is of the light and what is of the darkness? You know, little kids, they grow up, and you teach them as parents what's right and wrong. Don't do this. Do this. No. And sometimes, no, don't do that. No, no, no. You're teaching them no. You're teaching them this is good, this is bad. That's how we are. We're God's children, and sometimes God has to teach us, no, that's wrong. No, stay away from that. That's dark. This will hurt you. This will do this to you. So God always give us that warning, y'all. So we have to listen. Not only we listen, then we got to obey. Amen? So in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness. Ooh, hold up, y'all. Hold up. Jesus said, what? I am the light of the world. And whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So that would make a person think, well, wait a minute. Jesus just said, I'll never walk, but I fell. I backslid. Okay? But then we see here also the Bible said, God said, but I'm married to the backslider. So God says, you might fall. But as he said to the church, to the woman that committed adultery, get up and sin no more. And don't walk in. So he's treating this thing. Don't just stay in your mess. Get up. And don't be like Lot's wife that keep turning back, looking back, looking back, looking back. Because if you look back, you're going to turn into a pillar of salt. If you look back, you're going to turn into that stuff you're looking at. Don't look back. Look forward. Okay? We are children of the light. Psalms 27, verse 1, God is called light and salvation. God is the light and the salvation. This is the character of the nature of God. God is the light. So that would make us realize if God is the light, I want to be where he is. I want to be in the light. Amen. And the only way we're going to get in the light is to spend that time with him. Spend time in prayer. Spend time in your word. Spend time in meditation. Separate. Don't allow this dark world to consume you with all this technology. Sometimes put that phone down. Put that computer down. Separate yourself. Don't let nothing. And then they say, well, some good thing. So, you know, at a point in time that none of this stuff existed. So all this extra stuff that's given to us is to keep us so occupied that we don't get that quality time with God. So the believer is light because he knows God. You and I are light because we know God. And it's amazing why people that see us and they know we are walking with God, they try to find all kind of fault in us. And it's okay because we are the light shining in the midst of the darkness. Their darkness. You ain't did nothing. All you, why this person acting like this toward me? Because you are a light. Romans chapter 1, 21 and 23, it describes the world as intellectually darkened, knowing God as the creator. So it says, for although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him. So you can know God. Get this. Catch it. You better catch it. You can know God, but you don't glorify God, or you don't give thanks to him. There's a lot of people out here, yeah, I know God. I heard about him. I know him. So really, we're talking about the type of believer that not only know him, but we glorify him, and we give thanks to him. It says, but their thinking became futile, and foolish hearts were darkened. Okay, so we're talking about someone that perhaps maybe even knew God, but we can become, our hearts become darkened. And it says, although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal men and birds and animals and reptiles. You don't want to exchange your crown. You don't want to exchange your promise for what the world has to give to you. People of the world have dark minds. They do. They profess to be wise. They think they're so smart. Some of them got degrees. Some are very educated. Some of them just really, really, you know, they're pretty good at what they do. They profess to be wise when they're really fools. That's what the Bible says. I'm reading what the Bible says. They deny. Anytime you can be so smart, so educated, so savvy, but you deny God, that makes you a fool. They deny the living God by worshiping their false gods and denying his existence. That's in Psalms 14, verse 1. It says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. There is no God. The world is dark, y'all. The world is dark because people do not know or even acknowledge God. But believers are the light because they know the light and they know God. Amen. I have a lot more. I'm going to continue. I'm probably going to come back in a couple of days because I have so much. I'm gonna keep on this message until the Lord says different, because we're dealing in a time that we got the Antichrist. There's a lot of things going on in this world. So since we know this going on, we gotta be awake and we gotta be mindful and we gotta be about our Father's business, and we got to know how to distinguish between the light and darkness. So I believe I'm in the right place right now. So I'm gonna stay in this message until the Lord say different, because there's more revelation about this light. Next time, I'm going to talk about the believer is light because he knows the gospel in the scripture. That's also what makes us a light, because we have the word of God inside of us. So I'm going to go more in depth about that. Amen. At this time, I'm going to open up my mic. Is there anyone out there that perhaps if there's anyone out there that want to speak, you can hit one, and I will open up your mic. Amen. We have been talking about shining darkness, living a light, living our life in the light, in the dark world. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Your mic is open, 207-652. God bless you.
Hey, praise God. How you doing?
Amen. Praise the Lord, husband.
Praise God, baby. You brought a message on tonight that is so powerful because it just goes in accordance to how we've been speaking in reference to what we spoke when reading the Word of God in the book of Proverbs. I mean, and where we are. I mean, everything that you spoke on, praise God, on today just explains truly how we ourselves are going through and how God is delivering and bringing us above and higher. And bringing us into an example. And I really appreciate you for bringing that, because it's just showing me in the name of Jesus that I'm in accordance and in order as to where God would have for us to be.
Amen.
And I love you.
Running from that darkness. You're right, husband. Amen. Thank you.
I love you.
Amen. I love you too.
And I thank God for the awesome message and the anointing that you brought into your message. God bless you.
Thank you, husband. Thank you. Love you. Amen. 323, your mic is open.
Hey, this is Angel calling out of L.A. I'm here at work, but I still made time to listen to your message from start to finish. Praise God for that.
Yes.
I like how you, you know, last week it was more or less kind of just explaining the difference between lightness and darkness. And today you're starting to slowly reveal what is that light and who is that light and what that light does for us in the dark. Amen. And I want to just real briefly touch up on the passage on Psalms 119, verse 105, and related to John 1:1. You know, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Yeah.
So therefore, the Word is the light, and the light is the Word. Amen. So we know that our light is God, and we know that God is the Word. And then it sums up and says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So God created light.
That's right.
Amen. God is the light. It was created by him. God also created dark. God created a way through that dark, because the Bible also says what? God will not give us anything we cannot bear. God will
That's
not give us anything we cannot get ourselves out of, including the dark.
Right. That
Amen?
Light. Yeah.
So I just want to say thanks for your word. Thanks for your message. I look forward to always hearing you and tuning into your show. And, you know, I'm going to be back in on Friday. I've been watching this series with Pastor T.D. Jakes. I'm sure you guys are familiar with him. And he's really stressing the really stressing the importance of prayer right now and how important prayer, how important prayer is really going to get us through what we're going through, and how prayer just moves mountains. And I'm going to open up on Friday talking about how serious God takes prayer. And, you don't. He says you don't play with somebody that is God's child. Amen. So we're going to talk about, you know, we're going to be talking about prayer, being God's children, and all that. So just thank God for your message. Praise God.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, this is so awesome. I can't wait to hear you. So it sounds like we're all on one accord. We got Pastor Elder Shaw coming forth Monday through Friday, reading through the Genesis to Revelation. Amen. And then we got Lord Have Me talking about the light and darkness. Amen. Living this life without light in the midst of darkness. And now we're going to have Minister Andrew coming forth. Amen. Just talking about, you know, prayer. So this is very powerful. I think we're really tag teaming. And for those of you that are listening, please continue to tune in. Elder Shaw will continue going forth Monday through Friday, 6 p.m., I'll say 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, 5 p.m. Mountain, 6 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. Eastern. He reads through the Bible theatrically. I'm telling you, it's amazing. And it's very captivating. There's nothing boring about it. Amen. So we thank God for those of you who have been listening. We're going to end our show at this time. Thank you for listening through the archives. Continue to follow us. God bless you. We're lifting up prayers for people that's in Louisiana and all these places. You know, we're in perilous time right now. We're lifting up all the families, people around the world that are just, you know, we're just living through some hard times. But this is a time never before to stay hooked up with Jesus, to stay hooked up with the Lord. Amen. So God bless you. I love you with the love of the Lord. And continue to keep David and Diane Ministries and friends, because we are determined to be about our Father's business. And we also are determined to stay in alignment with God. Amen. So God bless you. And may the peace of God follow you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God.
I wish I had the time to tell you a story about a man called Shelley John. But I don't have that time tonight. But you gotta realize, if old John was here, after going through, he'd look back at that old mule and say, since I can't shout in your church, since I can't dance in your church, hold my mule. I feel like shouting right now. I come to tell somebody I feel like praising, praising him. Well, well, help me out, y'all. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.